What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And we'll hear this lady asking questions. She's on the fan hotline, covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. She's Miss Mary Kay Cabot. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're all right. Joe Flacco gets the starting gig. I think it's almost by default. Good for Joe. I hope he plays well. But, man, I wanted somebody whose age started with a 2 to win this job, Mary Kay.
Well, I think you will get an opportunity to see some of the 2s played this season. So it was really the thing that they had to do right now. And I know everyone's really excited about it. So it wasn't just completely by default, although I do think the injuries had a lot to do with it. But I think Joe will go out there. He'll do a nice job. They'll see how it goes for as long as he can take it. And then we'll see some of the other guys as the season goes along is what I'm guessing.
If they win, though, he's not losing the job, right? I just want to make sure. I mean, it'd be silly if he's, if he's winning, we're not halfway through this game. Yeah, well, let's see what the rookies look like.
No, not at all. It will all depend on him going out there and keeping this football team relevant and in the hunt. And let's see if he can do it. He certainly did it here in 2023. I know one of the things that they were interested in with some of the younger guys, particularly with Kenny Pickett and with Dylan Gabriel, they could do more with their offense with those guys. Those guys have some more mobility and some things that they can do. And you can run some, you can call some runs, you can do some RPOs and some things that Joe really isn't going to do very well at this point in his career or really ever did at any point in his career. And he can move and he can run the keepers and things like that, but you're not going to call a run for him and you're not going to do some of the things those other guys can do. So I think they wanted to be able to use more of their playbook and open things up. But as I have been writing since way back when, each one of these guys had a superpower in the competition. Joe's superpower is that cannon arm and those explosive plays. And I think you will see plenty of those, and he just has to dial back the interceptions.
With all that in mind, what happens with Kenny Pickett?
Well, I think Kenny just has to get well. Kenny has to get healthy and get well. That is job number one for him. And once he is at that point, then they can see where things stand at that point. If Joe is playing really well and the offense is functioning the way that they need it to, then Kenny has to continue to wait his turn. But in the event that the offense isn't functioning the way that they want it to and Kenny is really healthy and they want to try some different things, then maybe they can turn to Kenny. I think they have to be fluid this season with it all. I think they have to be ready to pivot. But I think Joe knows what's at stake here. He knows that if he comes out of that lineup, there's a chance he's not getting back in. So I think you're going to see the best version of Joe that he can give you.
Do you still feel confident they're keeping 4 quarterbacks or the possibility, and touch on this, 3 quarterbacks and one of the quarterbacks is on the injured reserve to start the season?
I think that they still plan to keep 4 quarterbacks. They can still do some things with an injury list or with the practice squad and things like that. But I don't think they want to give up on any of those guys. I think that they traded for Kenny Pickett because they were really excited about what he might be able to do in this offense. I think they believed that he would flourish in this scheme in a way that he didn't have an opportunity to under Matt Canada. I think he looked really good in his 4 practices before he injured the hamstring. So I don't think they want to give up on him. And then the 2 rookies, they've got 2 really good developmental prospects here, and they both played well in their preseason starts. I think that was encouraging and exciting for the Cleveland Browns and for their fans. And so I think that they will keep all 4, even if they have to, utilize the practice squad quite creatively at times.
Right. And so I was just saying, because Andrew Siciliano brought this up during the game the other day. You can just send 2, you have 2 guys that you can put on the practice squad without having to send to waivers. That's a new rule this year? If you don't, if that doesn't sound right or you just haven't heard that, let me know. But does that sound right to you?
Well, I have to review all of those practice squad rules because they do change them every year. But they know that they have that at their disposal, and they will take advantage of that. And I don't think they're going to have to worry about you know, losing their guys when they do that. So you will see guys go up and down on that practice squad. But here's the thing. They were always going to keep three. And then they added Shador, and now they believe that Shador is worth investing resources, time, coaching into, and he's not going anywhere. Dylan's not going anywhere. So I do think that they will keep four. But I've been telling you guys that for a very long time, and I wrote it as a column a long, long time ago.
I think I read your column in 1979 on that. You wrote that before you were born. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's not a new concept. I mean, we've been talking about this, and we asked Andrew about it in his press conference on day two of camp, and he said, oh, sure, we can keep four. So I don't think anybody should be shocked when that happened, even though the Nationals keep saying that someone's going to get traded or someone's going to be on the trading block. Now, having said that, I must qualify it. If someone makes them an offer that they can't refuse when they are in the process of restocking this roster, then they'll listen. I mean, these guys are aggressive when it comes to building this roster. They check into things. They talk trade. So they're not going to slam the phone down on anyone. But I do think that they have a vested interest in trying to keep all four of them.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. Congratulations for the two of us. Another wide receiver added. We've been screaming for that for some time. From a strictly football standpoint, bringing in Bond seems like an absolutely nice move. Young guy, speed, potential. From a football standpoint, what do you think?
Yeah, from a football standpoint, you're exactly right about that. First of all, I really felt watching training camp that blazing speed was something they really needed. Now they added it, 4.39 in the 40. Looking forward to him going up when he gets the chance to against a lightning-quick Denzel Ward. That'll be fun to watch them run downfield together and try to keep up with each other and see how that turns out. So that's going to be cool. And then he does need some development. He's not coming in here as a surefire 1,000-yard receiver or anything like that. But his offensive coordinator at Alabama in 2023 was Tommy Reese.
Yep.
And Tommy really, really likes him. And sometimes your production and your development depends on the quarterback throwing the football to you. So I think that Joe Flacco certainly is going to be able to get him the ball. And he has a chance to be very, very productive. Now, I haven't seen many players miss most or all of training camp and just skate right in and have everything go like clockwork. So he's going to have to catch up. He's going to have to work overtime. I do think he's going to have to pick the brains of a Denzel Ward to see how guys are going to cover him and what they're going to do to him. I think he's going to maybe have to attach himself to the hip of Jerry Jeudy a little bit and pick his brains and the quarterbacks too. But if he has the kind of work ethic that the Browns really go for, then he should be able to come up the learning curve very quickly. I think it's a nice addition from a football standpoint.
Is he let's just slot him numbers-wise. Does he join a group with Deontay Johnson and becomes the third or fourth wide receiver? Or do you think he's brought in and Deontay Johnson now might not make this football team?
Well, I think that Deontay is probably someone that they'll have to take a look at. And I think he needs to have a really good week this week because when you bring in an Isaiah Bond, it does change the dynamics of who's going to make the roster. And if Deontay can go out this week and have a really nice week and maybe do some good things in the game, then I really do think that he will keep his chances alive of making the team. But I do think he's one of the guys that they're going to have to look at and say, you know, do we have a spot for him now that we have Isaiah here? So big week for Deontay, in my opinion.
All right, so let me ask you. Gage Larvidan's been impressive. It just feels like it's going to go practice squad. And Caden Davis.
You know, I actually think both of those guys have an excellent chance of making the 53-man roster. I really do. They have had really nice camps. And, you know, Gage kind of came out of nowhere and said, hey, just try to cut me or just try to put me on the practice squad. I mean, he proved himself day in and day out. And, you know, they had him returning punts in the game. And he just has answered the bell at every single turn. So if I'm doing my 53, I'm putting him on there.
What about Davis?
Same thing. I just think, it might be, they might have to do some roster gymnastics to fit these guys on there. But I think the same thing about Caden Davis. I mean, those were amazing throws by Shedeur Sanders in that game, but they were also really amazing catches by Caden Davis. So he's a good player, and I think heading into this camp, I felt that he was probably going to make the team, and nothing has happened to change my mind on that.
Mary Kay, last thought. You think Pickett's able to play this week? Does he get out there against the Rams or in practice even?
I wouldn't do that. I mean, knowing that he needs as much time as possible with that hamstring, I wouldn't risk it. I don't know what they're going to do about that. But if you want him to be your number two on September 7th, I would give him all the time that he needs and not have him go out there in a meaningless preseason game and risk that. So I wouldn't do it. I would probably give Shedeur a chance to play again a little bit if he can. And then I would also give maybe Dylan another little bit of a chance to play.
All right, sounds good. We'll listen for your questions with the press conferences coming up.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot, PlainDealerCleveland.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Browns speaking in Berea, and we will hear them, expected to be here in this hour. Joe Flacco, starting quarterback for week one. Isaiah Bond, wide receiver at some point, three-year guaranteed contract after charges, no build, which means no charges in the state of Texas.
Is that just a Texas thing?
I don't know.
I don't know that you hear it here.
I've not heard it here. Sounds like a Texas thing. He got no build.
Good thing you worked in Beaumont. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that.
There you go. Well, I didn't know it.
But when you moved to Beaumont.
Didn't know it. I wasn't getting arrested.
Oh, you didn't watch the beginning of your newscast?
No. Are you kidding?
Wow. Things haven't changed. Sports guys during the beginning of the news. Might hear the headline. And that's about it.
The big competition of training camp didn't happen because of Kenny Pickett's hamstring. Wonder if it would have changed anything. Wonder how they're going to handle that moving forward. I hope that, and Andy, I hope the best thing that happens here for the Browns is that Pickett isn't used in the practice this week or next week and maybe goes to the injured list and, you know, spends a few games there and just you stash a guy and there you have it. We'll see. Coach Mark is in Shaker Heights. Hello, Coach Mark.
Coach!
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Hey, hey.
Listen, man, we might be in trouble because we're starting this whole thing off talking about this quarterback play, and we're not keeping it even with how we hold these guys to a standard. Number one, let's just talk about Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, we are talking about who's going to be a backup to a backup. Let's be honest. Yes, Joe Flacco had his moments. He won a Super Bowl. We talked about this before. Yeah, he set some records. I heard you say that, Ken. Yeah, he set some records. But he also set some records because of the fact that no one has seen him in a long time. They forgot he was even in the NFL. Oh, he wasn't in the NFL.
You say
so
Ken? He's Andy. I'm Jeff.
I'm sorry, Andy.
So don't worry. That's Jeff.
Yes. Dan's behind Andy the glass.
That's good.
Yeah, too. Jeff, I'm going to get to you because I'm mad at you.
Oh, good, Mark.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Andy.
Yes.
Here we go. First of all, he set records. Yes, he did.
Yes.
But think about it is, they forgot who he was. Once they got more tape back on who they thought he was, they remember who he was, and he threw about 30,000 picks in six games. Let's not forget that. And he came off the couch. So this guy is pretty much done, but he's serviceable for a minute. Now, let's get to you, because Jeff.
Yeah, let's get to me.
Get to Jeff. Jeff. Take him apart.
You just talked about the fact of Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, I was so mad y'all didn't let me in yesterday. Dylan Gabriel.
We let everybody in.
You didn't call us yesterday.
No, I didn't get in. I didn't understand the new hole. Can only somebody else say something? I just heard y'all's conversation. I thought I called the wrong line. But the thing about it is, you said Dylan Gabriel didn't throw a shot. Yes, he did throw a shot. And you know.
No, I don't think he did, Mark.
I
don't care what he does verbally. I don't care.
But here we go.
I want to see what he does on the football field.
But here's the problem. So then why did not why didn't Sanders get picked up higher? Because they're talking about character. Because it wasn't about play. When it comes to play, he did very well with less. He did very well with less. So he dropped in
ranking. And going against less, perhaps. But let's...
You said, well, man, if you throw in the Big 12, how many Big 12 quarterbacks have we threw that's been taken? And they threw against less. Okay? Ben Roethlisberger.
No, I was talking about preseason games. That's all I'm looking at right now. They're members of the
Mark,
Browns.
You're not about to tear down the Mid-American Conference.
Come on, man.
Oh, don't do that now. Next thing you know,
you got a couple of Mac guys here.
Next thing you know, you're going to tell me Shaker and Cleveland Heights are not in the LEL. I am not going to be happy about that.
Hey, I played at Shaker Heights and LEL in 95 when we were undefeated and we lost to Ignatius. Okay, I know. I played at Kent State University.
I just brought it up. I know. We're all Kent Staters here. That's why we're yelling.
Yeah. So my point is, Coons Hall. Coons Hall, try to.
Coons Hall, second floor, here, baby. Second floor.
Hey, I was on second floor. I was on second floor, too.
Boom.
So my thing is this. Sanders did not get an opportunity. As a parent, all you want is for your child to get an opportunity. He's not getting an opportunity, yet he did the best with the opportunities. He only played because everybody was hurt. So the thing is, he comes out there with less reps, less opportunity, performs high, wows everybody, still fourth to a backup quarterback and to another backup quarterback and to a quarterback who didn't do that well. Let's be honest. After that first couple of series, he phased out. Dylan Gabriel phased out. So all I'm saying is
– Hey, I'll disagree. Mark, thank you very much. I
want to know what room he lived in Coons.
I don't know how much more clearly I can say it where I stand on this. I want one of these guys to become really good. I want two of these guys to become really good. I'm rooting for all of them. If it's Shadur, great. Congratulations. It means you rose above everybody else. If it's Dylan Gabriel, great. It means you rose above everybody else. I do not have a horse in this race. If I had to pick one, I want it to be Kenny Pickett. If he doesn't play well, great. Move on from him. Somebody, please play well and be the starting quarterback of this team and give this front office a chance to think, do we or don't we need to draft a quarterback next year? Because as it stands right now with Joe Flacco as your quarterback, there's no question you have to draft a quarterback next year. You're not going to bank on a guy with Joe's age and experience to be your long-term answer. And personally, I think they're going to draft one next year anyway, Andy. I don't think a guy who splits time this year is going to end up being that guy. I hate to say this. The only way that doesn't happen is if Flacco gets hurt and somebody else goes in and lights it up and stays there all season long. I don't expect that to happen. But, man, it's amazing how people have taken sides in this. Amazing to me. Can't we as Browns fans just want a quarterback, two quarterbacks, somebody? Let's have them all do well. Shadur played well, Andy.
Yes.
So did Dylan Gabriel. He made one really crummy throw.
Mm-hmm.
So did Shadur. Shadur's just wasn't picked off.
Yeah, that's
the guy
true.
Dropped it.
Yeah.
Chris is in the thriving state of California. How are those property taxes and real estate taxes and income tax going, Chris? I did hit it, Dana. Didn't go. Now it does.
There
Hi,
it
Chris.
Is. Yes.
Yo, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, Chris. How are you? How's Kenny Pickett's fan club doing today? How are you doing?
Hey. Well, it doesn't seem like there's many of them out there. I just hear Shadur Sanders fans.
Well, here's the problem. He's not playing right now. That's why there's not a lot of people buying him right now.
Let me help you with something, okay?
Chris, I'm with you. He's the guy. He's the guy that I would like to see be the guy, but he's not.
You know how there's word of the day? There's three words I like to give you. Scapegoat, sabotage, and hostage.
How about injury?
No.
He's injured. Okay. That's why
hamstring
no one's,
do anything
Chris,
for you?
Chris, don't he be was, blind, man. No one's injured. Talking about him because he's hurt. He's not playing.
He was injured. He was injured before Dylan Gabriel.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you that we sat here and talked about Kenny and having a 21-year-old that would have the opportunity to win the starting job in the beginning. So there's we're not sabotaging him. Are you saying the team is?
Kevin Stefanski is a spineless coward. I know a better coach.
Wow.
With a better resume. And that's Sean.
Would put a guy with a pulled hamstring out on the field. Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, you hung up. He hung on the line forever. And you just talking about you were going
to. He didn't hang on the line forever.
Did he get played off?
Chris has made the same phone call 13 times. Chris, ask me to pick my guy. It would be Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, he said that a
thousand
times.
He's not being held hostage.
Espionage.
He has a pulled hamstring and can't play.
If he didn't have
a pulled hamstring, we would know if he's the starting quarterback of this team. but he has a pulled hamstring. It has nothing to do with gutless Kevin Stefanski. He has a pulled hamstring, and he isn't able to practice or play.
That's why. But it's a secret.
If he didn't have a pulled hamstring, we would know. Is he better than Joe Flacco right now or not?
You know who did it? Jaws.
I think he's the guy the Browns actually wanted to have as the starting quarterback.
I think we need some Bond today. Isaiah Bond.
Well, we're going to get him. He's speaking coming up in a little bit.
What kind of a man throws a shoe?
What kind of a man throws a shoe?
By the way, press conferences on The Fan are brought to us by Montrose Kia. Choose, click, cruise at montrosekia.com. Wayne is in Cleveland. Wayne, are you going to scream at us even though we're rooting for everybody?
No, not really.
Thank you, Wayne.
We got a couple things.
Go ahead. I'd love to hear them, Wayne.
Here we go, Wayne.
Yeah, first, I think what they should do, let your door go, and let them three clowns figure out what they're going to do with the other three. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think.
Well, why would you let Shador go?
Because I don't think it's fair for him.
What's not fair? The guy's in a competition, and he's
not fair for him. It's not fair for two rookies to be at it. You know, I just don't think it's fair. And let him go so he can go somewhere else and be successful.
Steve Walsh, Troy Aikman, that worked.
Here's the problem:
RG3, Kirk Cousins.
Wayne, where's he going when every team passed on him
four times?
It don't matter. Somebody pick him up. But anyhow, Jeff,
what do you think?
Somebody would,
right,
but it doesn't behoove the Browns to trade him.
I know you want to. That's Andy. What do you think we get for him?
No. I want to talk Jeff, Andy, because Jeff was off last week.
Sit there and you be quiet.
To him about. Come on, Jeff. Let me tell you this, Jeff, because you're wrong what you said. You've been saying before after the Quinshon Johnson incident.
Judkins.
Remember when he had Judkins. When
what
he
said was wrong?
So-called charges. No, he was saying how these guys were doing these type of things and what they shouldn't be doing. And here it is. There was no charges brought up against this dude. And I think you owe these guys an apology, Jeff. You know? You know what you were saying last week?
No.
I mean, before last. You were saying these guys getting all in trouble and this and that. You were basically.
Oh, you've got to make better decisions. They put themselves in bad spots, apparently.
No.
That's what I thought. That's what you said.
Jeff, these women out here, man, are crazy. You know, you.
I married one, but she's not crazy, Wayne. I like her.
And that's, okay.
Wayne, I got you there, Wayne.
I got you there.
I hear you.
Y'all take it easy.
All right,
Thank you, Wayne. We appreciate you.
Young men.
You made it all the way through that phone
young
call.
Men,
I give him credit for that.
Take care of yourselves out there. Young women, take care of yourselves out there. let's all just get along nicely, have wonderful relationships.
I am flashing
That's
back.
All you ask.
To eighth grade health class with Mr. Mann right now.
I had fifth grade health class. We played this game. It was like a baseball type of game where you'd ask a question. If you got it right, you moved along. I'll never forget the question. I'll leave you with this as we go to break. True or false? A man's testicles are the size of an official NBA basketball. I had a nurse ask that in fifth grade health class. I thought, okay, I think I have that one correct.
In the break, I'll tell you what we learned.
It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Joe Flacco coming up. Isaiah Bond coming up.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This should be the music for everyone's hold. Don't you think? I think the world would be a better place if that was hold music rather than Muzak.
I always thought that would be my intro if I was a professional wrestler.
Do you know what the music should be?
For what?
Can I go arena football for you?
On this story or what?
We should have this on hold for everybody to keep them all calm. When I was doing sidelines on a Columbus Destroyers game.
Oh.
Back in the day.
Earl Bruce head coach?
And Chris Spielman.
By the way, Chris Spielman, one of the new inductees into the Greater Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame.
Okay, come bringing it back. Chris Spielman's the head coach of the Columbus Destroyers.
You're derailing us.
I'm talking about a football team coached by Chris Spielman.
And I'm talking about
Hang on.
What? Why can't we be friends?
Oh, forget that. Go ahead. Let's hear the rest of the story.
I'm doing sidelines, so I'm standing there watching the guys warm up. It's the Dallas team.
Ding.
Dallas team comes out on the field, and it's in Columbus. Where'd they play it? The Shot or Nationwide?
Oh.
Nationwide, I think.
No way. Nationwide wasn't. When the Earl Bruce was coaching?
No, Spielman. I've mentioned that three times.
Man, I don't even think.
It was in the 2000s. So I whatever arena they were in, I'm standing there, and I'm talking to a guard who's you know standing guard there, and we're chatting. The Dallas team comes on the field, and all of a sudden, booming through the public address system, all the speakers, is this, Longer Than, by Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, to keep them down?
Just a mellow, you know, Longer Than there have been fishes in the ocean. Mm-hmm. I've been in love with you, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him, I said, what? And he said, Spielman. He wants real mellow. For the other team, so that they get lulled into a false sense of security or they relax or whatever it is. And then they kept playing like Dan Fogelberg. The Destroyers come on the field, heavy metal, boom, 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 all pumped up. Dallas destroyed them. Pun intended.
You know, Iowa's deal in the locker room, visitors' locker room at the stadium there, pink.
Yeah.
All the walls are pink in there. Yeah.
At what stadium?
Kinnick. Isn't that Kinnick at Iowa? Is that the name of the stadium?
Really?
Mm hmm. That's, I don't know if it's still like that. It was like that for a long
time.
That's nice. Let me tell you this, Jeff.
Tell me, Andy.
Before you derail the show again. Don't miss a moment from earlier in our show or any of our local shows on 92.3 The Fan. Click the rewind function on the Odyssey app brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com to listen back to any of our segments from the past 72 hours. You could play Why Can't We Be Friends for the first time you get put on hold, and then the second time you could play Thank You for Being a Friend. Although I got to tell you,
Andrew Gold.
Yeah, it was a great song by Andrew. I think the Golden Girls ruined the song, destroyed it. The song had so much more meaning before it was on with the Golden Girls.
It did have some oomph when Andrew Gold recorded it.
Yeah, it was good. And then all of a sudden he's can't.
What time member of Fleetwood Mac, by the way?
Did not know that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm smarter.
Flacco's coming up.
I'm already smarter. That's it.
So is Isaiah Bond.
I'd like to let everyone know I didn't know he was in Fleetwood Mac.
Who comes in here, and I'm, from a straight football standpoint, a young man was not charged and everything else, so I guess he's good to go. And the Browns signed him to a contract. They haven't signed Quinshon Judkins to a contract yet, for whatever that means. I wonder if Isaiah Bond being here is the end of Deontay Johnson being here. And I hope not.
I hope not, too, but I do agree with you. Although Mary Kay said she thought they'd all stay, which would mean 7 wide receivers.
Well, that's a lot. But, you know, remember,
quarterbacks.
Whatever they cut down to 53, then they're going to work the roster like crazy. I hope that they think Deontay Johnson has shown enough that he should be on this football team. Why? Because at one time, he was really good. And I hope he can be here and be really good. Because to me, if you have a wide receiving crew of Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, who I'm a fan of, Deontay Johnson, who is showing what he showed in Pittsburgh, which is why he would make this team, and Isaiah Bond, and then fill it out with Jamari Thrash, Gage Larvadin.
But if Deontay Johnson doesn't make the team, he just becomes Ross Tucker. And he maybe ends up going somewhere else and becoming good. And I say that because, you know, we listen to Ross Tucker. He does a great job. You hear him on our show. You've heard him on the afternoon show. He was on the pregame show last week. He's on the Eagles preseason television network. And we laugh about the fact that he was with the Browns for one preseason. And if Deontay Johnson ends up not making the team or they release him and he goes to play somewhere else, it's going to take you hard. You'll be like, was he with the Browns? And you'll be like, oh, yeah, he was with them in preseason. I could easily see them letting him go because he's not making that much.
But I would think that might be all the more reason to keep him if he's actually showing them that he has the ability that he showed in Pittsburgh.
So let me get it straight.
That's the question with Deontay Johnson. Can he do that again?
All right, so let me get this straight.
So.
Tillman, Judy, Thrash, Davis. And if you listen,
so you're getting into names that I don't necessarily think are going to be here.
Well, Mary Kay, when we were talking about, let me give you Mary Kay's names, because Mary Kay just said this too. Tillman, Judy, Thrash, Davis, Larvadan, Deontay Johnson, Isaiah Bond.
Well, that's seven.
And you've got DeAndre Carter, who's technically listed as a wide receiver. And does anyone know what? Where's David Bell? He's injured, right?
Yep. Non-football injury. I would think that they're going to keep six wide receivers. So I would think that Larvadan ends up on the practice squad, or that Davis ends up on the practice squad. I hope Deontay Johnson makes this football team, because he's only going to make the team if he's showing what he showed before. And they think that they can get that out of him. Because to me, Andy, that gives you a four wide receiver group that I like a lot. I think that's four guys that can... That can be pretty solid. And I'm not going to tell you it's upper echelon in the NFL, because it wouldn't be. I'm not even going to tell you it's middle of the pack in the NFL, because it wouldn't be yet. But I think it could get there. If Johnson can be good, if Tillman can show, there are a lot of ifs. And if Isaiah Bond can catch up quickly. I mean, even with that group, there are three ifs. That's three too many, or at least two too many.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to... I know that... So let's just say, Tillman for sure, Judy for sure, Thrash for sure, Bond for sure.
You're saying Thrash for sure. I would think...
Jeff, there's no way Thrash isn't on this team.
I would think so, but you know, if you're not in the top two or three, then it's going to come down to evaluation and what the coaches see.
Where's Thrash now?
He's listed, what, number two on the depth chart?
The one I'm looking at is three, but yeah.
Andy, I would think he makes the team.
Yeah, I don't. But if
Deontay Johnson is any good in their mind, that's four guys definitely locked in. Then it becomes, all right, is it Thrash? I would think so. Is it Larvadan? Maybe.
I think Larvadan's also shown that he can play special teams. That's the other big. And, you know, just talking with Tyvus, because one of the questions I asked Tyvus on the pregame show was, what makes a guy burst through the bubble? Guy who's a bubble player, how do you burst it so that you can make the team? And he said it's, and I agree with this, and I think a lot of us, it's kind of common sense, but it's all about special teams. How much can you help the special teams? What can you do? And if you're going to, you know, play out of your mind on special teams, Bubba Vatrones, they probably give him two or three guys and say, okay, you got your pick of these guys. You tell me what you think. Although I don't even know if they really give him the opportunity to do that. But I think they used to do stuff like this where they would say to this, okay, we're trying to make a decision on these guys that are just on the edge. You tell me which one you think is going to help you the most on special teams. And then they stand on the table and they argue over one or two players. And Larvadan seems to be one of those players.
Maybe. We'll see. You know, the fact that he's a smaller wide receiver doesn't work in his favor, but that doesn't mean he can't be very productive.
If you have a smaller quarterback, why wouldn't that help?
I would think you'd want a different projection, a little line of projectile. I don't know.
Yeah.
Throw it up in the air, let him go get it. But he can't necessarily do that. So I'm curious to see what happens with Johnson. I'm curious to see if he plays on Saturday. I would think Isaiah Bond does not play on Saturday. What do you think?
They might get him in at the end of the game, fourth quarter, maybe. It depends how much he gets to learn over the next 24 hours.
Hey, learn these three plays. We're going to call those for you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And probably look at some of the plays he ran at college and try to find him.
Wonder what kind of shape he's in.
But that's another good question, too. You don't know what kind of shape he's in.
No. And heaven forbid, sprinter type speed. Critical position.
He's going to be in good shape.
What you don't want to see him do is go out on the field and pull a hamstring.
I mean, he was I want to say he was like 7 or 8 as a national champion in the 100. I mean, pretty impressive stuff when he was young running track. And so he's been able to maintain that his entire life.
Much like Anthony Schwartz.
Yeah, I can't.
Sorry.
Okay, can you catch? That's just it. Hang on.
There is that whole catch
thing. It's like going to the doctor's office and they hand you those forms. and you filled them out like 15 times already, and you probably did it online. Could you, if you'll speed things up, if you do this online, then you get there, and then they hand you the paper one, and it asks you 10,000 questions. And on his thing, it's going to say,
says, "Can you catch?
Can you catch? Check yes or no."
Check yes or no.
Check yes or no. What a great song. That
Gentlemen, was. We now go live to Berea for Browns quarterback Joe Flacco.
Do they feel any different for you than yesterday?
No, listen, it's just business as usual. Go out there and, you know, get another good practice in, get some rest with the guys, and, you know, kind of continue to work towards what we've been all training camp. So,
when did you kind of know that you were going to get named the starter?
When Kevin told me. I mean, I don't know. You know, you keep your head down and you just try to do your best, and felt like I was having a good camp with the reps that I was given, and that's all you can do.
You've done this a million times, but are there extra emotions attached to, you know, now you're 40 and it's been a couple of years since you've been the week one guy for anybody?
Yeah.
I
don't know if I was very emotional about it, but listen, you don't take for granted opportunities in this league. You know, especially, you know, to get one at this point in my career is definitely special. But like I said, it's pretty much business as usual and just kind of trying to get better. So.
Is it your understanding of the starter for the season or further?
Well, we all know how that works. I mean, you know, that's everybody in the league, you know. But it's not really my job to look at it in that way. It's just to kind of go out there and play my game, kind of like I've been doing, you know, all training camp, and not worrying about, you know, all that stuff. Just going out there and playing my game and being the best I can. So,
do you expect to play Saturday, and do you want to play? I assume you want to play.
Yeah, I do expect to. You know, I think there's, you know, a lot of value in preparing yourself to go play a football game and getting your mindset ready for that. So,
Joe, now that this question's been answered, right? Just where are you at, and where do you feel this offense is at this point, getting ready for this?
I think we all feel pretty good, you know. Now it's like, listen, you only get a certain amount of reps out there, and I think we've made the most of it. And I think that's every team in the league to a certain extent. I think the good thing about this week is we kind of get to put ourselves through a little bit of a game plan and kind of simulate what we would be doing during the year. And I think that's going to give everybody that extra confidence to take that next step.
Joe, the old training camp adage is that the defense usually starts ahead of the offense. It seems like you guys have been in the game with some steam recently. Why do you think offense takes a little longer to gel in an offseason?
It's so tough to tell these days if that is actually the case, just because you're not out there with a ton of reps. But I mean, typically on offense, I'm sure defensive guys look at it exactly the opposite that we do, but on offense, one guy can mess up and it wrecks the whole play. On defense, one guy can be the only one to wreck the entire play, you know? So it's kind of like, I think a lot of offensive guys at least view it opposite. I'm sure defensive guys would tell you differently, that they need to kind of play together as well. But it truly is a team sport for a reason. And on offense, everybody needs to be on top of all their shifts, all their motions, all their post-game, all their post-snap, you know, changes and all that. And if one guy happens to be a little bit off, then the play doesn't work. And I think it's always it always takes a little bit of time to get all 11 guys operating on full cylinder, especially when you're rotating a bunch of guys in during training camp and you have a bunch of guys taking reps. It's just makes it even a little bit harder.
Where are you from a physical standpoint? The last time we obviously saw you play here in Cleveland was 2 years ago, and the calendar has turned a bit since then, of course. So where does Ford find you just in terms of arm strength, mobility, and energy and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that I've shown some people that over the last couple of weeks that have watched the film and that we've been out there with. I feel as good as I ever have. You know, you get tricked a little bit when you're in a locker room with all these guys. You just kind of assume you're in your 20s and you keep telling yourself that. But I really do feel great. My arm feels just as good as ever. My legs feel really good right now to do the things that I'm going to have to do. So, you know, I feel ready to go.
Hey, Joe, would a 22-year-old Joe Flacco believe he'd be starting as a 40-year-old?
I hope that he would believe it, yeah, if you told him. He'd probably be a little bit surprised that he's actually still playing at 40 years old. But I hope that he would believe it for sure. It's tough to go back and And in a lot of ways, you're probably a little bit more cocky as a 22-year-old than you are as a 40-year-old. So I've probably come down to earth and, you know, mellowed out a little bit on certain things. And, yeah, my 22-year-old self, I think, would believe it for sure.
You touched on this for a second. One second, Tony. You know, you're part of a small group now that has started as a, that's going to start as a quarterback in his 40s. How much pride do you take in that?
Well, it's interesting, man. I think over the last, it's always one of those things that, like, I think as a football player, you just want to play. But I think you got to give a lot of credit to, obviously, Tom for anybody even thinking about doing it. Obviously, there was guys before. You have, you know, Warren Moon, and I talked about it a couple weeks ago, Vinny Testaverde and other guys that have done it. But, I mean, he pushed the boundaries like he did in absolutely everything. No surprise that he did it in that way as well. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily something that I actively think about until people kind of remind me with texts and things like that, and you guys ask me about it. I don't think it's a huge deal right now, but I'm sure when I look back on it, it'll be pretty cool. Joe,
you are listening to WKRK FM and HD1 Cleveland Heights, Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan. Back to the Joe Flacco press conference live in Berea.
I think anytime you bring that kind of speed to an offense, it can help a lot of things out. Run game, short passing game. I think when you have a guy like Jerry on the other side who can really, you know, we have a lot of confidence, can win against anybody, it makes it harder for defenses to kind of, you know, maybe pay more attention to him and things like that. It can open up, you know, all kinds of possibilities.
We ask you all these questions about how's your arm feeling and how you physically. I feel like mentally it would be an advantage to be around longer. How much do you understand defense now as opposed to when you were 25, let's say?
Yeah, listen, I think the thing that as you get in the league, no matter what position you are, the part of it that you deal with mentally that maybe is a little bit of a struggle, not an advantage, is that you do, there's time, you got to fight like the boredom and the monotony of doing it for so long. I mean, we've all been playing football since we've been teenagers, and at some point we all will be done. So I think when you can kind of get into that 10-year area, there is a part of your brain that wants to make it, you know, oh, I'm doing this again. And I think that I've been in a good position the last few years to kind of get over that mindset. But I think that's the one actual kind of drawback that you have as an older player is that, you know, you do have to fight some of that, or you had to fight it throughout your career. Now, the advantage is I think I've gotten over that to a certain extent, and now and you feel very good about where you are. And all positions, but specifically a quarterback, you definitely should get better as your age climbs up. 'Cause, you know, and even if there's things that you haven't seen before and somehow somebody's creating something new, it's just the way that you react to that is a little bit more, you can tell is a little bit more experienced than a younger guy, that it might throw him off a little bit. There's definitely advantages as you get older in this league, no matter what position you are. If you can keep your physical health, then, you know, the more mentally sharp you are, the better you're going to be.
Have you heard from a Tom Brady or, you know, Aaron Rodgers has got things to do this camp, but have you heard from any of those other guys that have made it past 40 and are still doing this?
No, you know, I think that's probably one of the things I'm not great at is reaching out to people and leaning on people. I'm sure they'd be open to kind of share whatever. So I wish I was, I, you know, to be honest with you, I probably wish that I would be better at that and be able to kind of reach out to some of those guys and see how they've dealt with it, because obviously, you know, nobody's done it better. But I haven't to this point.
It's a couple of weeks away, but, you know, it does seem like you're primed to return to Baltimore. You say they're going to have a 33rd anniversary celebration. In the back of your mind, now that you know that you're QB1 right now, is that kind of creep in the back of your mind?
I love playing in Baltimore. Such a special place, unbelievable fans, division game. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So, you know, that is what the plan is, and it would definitely be very exciting.
Joe, when you got here in 2023, it was real obvious how the locker room gravitated to you immediately when you walked in the door. Have you experienced a similar thing this year, and You know, is it possible to recapture that? I know you want to keep that in the rearview mirror, and it doesn't really factor into your scope on the future. But you know, it just way it came together felt so special. Is it? Are you able to kind of recreate that this year?
I think that's all about going out there and winning football games. I think that's the one detriment of like kind of having to split up reps so much during training camp is like you'd like to gain that rapport with guys, not just to show them like, not just to get better on the field with guys, but also show them like, hey man, I'm the guy, you know, let's go have some fun. So hopefully over the next few weeks, you know, we can make that happen. It's all about winning in this league. If you can look at that, then it'll feel pretty special.
Have you had the chance to talk to the other guys in the room after you've been named the starter?
Yeah, we all. I mean, Kevin came in the room and talked to all of us, and then we all talked. We've all talked. I mean, yeah, we're in there. We're this close to each other every single day. I mean, there can be some awkwardness, but at the end of the day, like, we're all adults. We just want to be honest with each other, and we want people to be honest with us. And at the end, like, if you get that, we've all been through situations like this. You feel good about whatever it is. Honesty is the main thing. Looking somebody in the eye and having a conversation with them is the main thing. It doesn't mean you're going to be happy and all that with whatever has happened and going on, but I think that's all of us, all that any of us can ask for. So the guys in that room are extremely professional, and we all know how to handle ourselves, and we're friendly, so, you know, it is what it is.
What was your message to them?
I didn't have a specific message, you know. You just kind of, like, you're just in there, and you kind of address it, and then you go on as usual.
Hey, Joe, I think you said that you've had pretty much the same routine forever. But as you got older, maybe in that second decade in the league, did you change anything? Did you add anything to stay fresh?
Listen, I think developing a routine in this league is super important for many reasons, you know, physically, mentally. Making sure that you stay in the moment, I think, is one of the biggest ones, is just kind of concentrating on what's important in that moment, not getting ahead of yourself. In terms of a physical aspect, like, I'm really lucky to, you know, be with my trainer and kind of like progress as the years have gone on, and a lot of the same things, but always doing something new and more exciting. I mean, you know, a couple years ago, it's like, I, you know, when you're 12, 13, all through high school, like, I look back and I was like, I came to the realization, like, man, I was in really good shape because I was playing football, I was playing basketball, I was playing baseball, I was running around with my friends playing pickup games. Like, that's how you kind of, that's a big part of how you stay in shape. So it's like, when we get to adults and you get into the work world, you stop doing that thing. And it's not any, like, just because I'm out here running around on a football field every day, yeah, I'm a little bit active, but it's still only an hour and a half. Like, so I think I came to the realization, like, oh man, I got to get back to doing some of those things, like playing games and having fun and doing so, because you're just kind of out there doing it and you are getting in shape and you're moving laterally and forward and doing all those things just to kind of keep your body as active as possible.
Is there anything that surprises you anymore? Is there anything that surprises you anymore?
I don't know if I have a specific, but yeah, I can be surprised for sure.
Just a couple more. The teams you've been with since your Baltimore career, it seems like four games in Cleveland stand out. Why do you think that is? Numbers-wise, wins?
Well, listen, I think if you look back, like, to this roster, they've had a pretty talented team. I think specifically that year, I can attest to it. You know, they had awesome guys up front, you know, a good running back room, good receiver room, really good defense. You know, to win in this league, you need to have a team, you know, and a coaching staff that's ready to go. And I think probably that Browns team, more than any of the others, were maybe just a little bit more in that zone where they were ready to win. I mean, I was on some other talented teams too, maybe a little bit younger and not quite ready to get over that hump yet. But
when you talk about fighting off the board, did Shador bring a little bit of a different twist or spin to it? Because I just saw you guys laughing, you know, so often. And did his presence kind of help keep things sort of light and fun for you this game?
For sure. I mean, you're always looking for that. That's what being a part of a team is all about. You know, making those connections with guys, it puts us all in that better mindset. In order to play really well, you need to be in a great mindset. And I think, you know, having those relationships and being able to laugh about certain things but also get your work done is a big part of being successful.
No one's as happy that you're when David Njoku's been posting all over his Instagram. What is your relationship? Can you just kind of describe your relationship with David?
Dave's awesome, man. I mean, he refers to me by my full name. He's been doing that since I've walked in the building a couple years ago. Dave has a lot of energy, and but you know, most importantly, you know, he's a hell of a player. You just got to get the ball in his hands. That's the biggest thing. And you know, I listen. I hope we can keep that enthusiasm going as the season starts and moves on, because he's a lot of fun to be around. And if we get things going well, then it should be pretty fun.
Does he call you Joseph? Or
no, he just calls me Joe Flacco. He says my last name. You know.
Calling Paige, calling Mr. Joe Flacco.
It makes sense, you know. I don't know. Like, in my experience, a lot of kids these days kind of call their parents' friends by their first names. But, and in my case, everybody kind of, you know, everybody knows professional athletes by their first name. So it kind of makes sense. But Mr., yeah, if I heard him say that, I'd probably say, hey, let's cut it out on the Mr.
Pretty good?
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Joe Flacco, according to David Njoku. And, of course, all press conferences on The Fan are brought to us by Montrose Kia. Choose, click, cruise at montrosekia.com. Joe Flacco in control, sounding like he has sounded in every press conference, Andy, like a guy who's done way too many press conferences in his season, in his career.
Yeah.
This season, mm-hmm. Any season.
He said a lot of interesting things. I mean, there's just, it's his gig. Now, just go out and win. That's all he's got to do. Go out and win. And he knows that. I think the one part that he talked about that I thought was super important was Kevin Stefanski going into the room, letting everybody know that Joe was going to be the starter, and everybody in that room understanding what's going on and talking about players eye to eye. Like, you know, the cowardly way to do things as coaches is like, yeah, you let the rumor fly out and then somebody gets the news that they're like, if you were one of the backups, and that happens way too often. You know, or they'll leak stuff to the rest of the team, and then the person that needs to know the most doesn't find out. And that happens in every team, every level. I mean, it happens in some situations. You know, it happens in situations where you don't have good coaching. So for all the times that people want to say Kevin's not a good coach, that's the way to handle it. That's the pro's pro right there. Walk in the room, talk to all the quarterbacks, explain to everybody what's going on, and move forwards. And if you have any questions, you ask them, because I think the three guys that aren't starting now have a better understanding of what they need to do to try to get the time to replace Joe when they have the opportunity. And they're going to want that same respect when they do have the opportunity to be a starter, whether it's here or somewhere else. So I don't know. That soundbite kind of hit home.
I sit here now with one preseason game to go, and I'm just curious what this offense is going to look like. You know, there were times that, obviously, when Flacco was here, he played 5 regular season games and was really good. His record was 4-1. You know what Deshaun Watson's record was in the 5 games he started that year?
Are they 5? How many games?
4-1.
They're 4-1. Okay.
So Deshaun Watson had the same winning percentage that Joe Flacco had in regular season games as starting quarterback for the Browns that year. I think people kind of forget that. But Joe kind of reminded us of that because he said, look, we had a really good defense. And Joe's numbers were better than Deshaun's. But Deshaun was playing winning football here. And he got hurt. And that's when, you know, that's when things really went south for Deshaun here, because he was doing a nice job. Then you end up with DTR and PJ Walker and everything else. And Joe Flacco comes in and he parked his white horse out front and everything worked out great.
Timing was everything on that, right? I mean, he was on the right side of the offense at the right time when the defense was playing well, and they were able to execute what they needed to do to get to the playoffs. Now, unfortunately, it was an execution when we got there because of the pick sixes. So.
Which are frowned upon.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. It's not fun. Guillotine, the only way to go, though.
Isaiah Bond coming up, by the way. Browns rookie wide receiver.
Thanks. I thought I was talking to myself for a second.
I'm curious to see how quickly Bond gets up to speed. You know,
Was that a pun, too?
No, it actually wasn't.
He's really fast.
As soon as I said it, I thought, well, speed, but that was not the idea. But I'm real curious to see what happens with him. And is he out on the field this week? Is he out on the field next week? When is he out on the field? We'll find out. Isaiah Bond speaking in Berea. We'll hear him right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.